Hello, everybody. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
1 year after the Parkland school shootings, could artificial intelligence hold the key to prevent more mass violence? This is another episode of Behind the Media. We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. And listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away. Thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or built-in front pocket, and they come in a range of colors and materials that suit your travel style. For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. So, Jimmy, we talk a lot about artificial intelligence.
Yes, and some of us have it, and some of us don't.
I keep looking for another version of it, and I just can't find it anywhere.
Some people have real intelligence, and others it's quite artificial. But this is a serious matter. I mean, this is the 1 year anniversary of the Parkland shootings, and every time there is a major event like this, it always comes around to gun control and what can we do, you know, this battle over what do you call it, who should not have it, how can it be, you know, stricter guidelines out there to prevent people from getting a hold of it. This is really going in a different direction. Or can we, before we even get to the day when someone pulls a gun and starts shooting, are there signs out there that we're missing? And we usually do find out after the fact that we missed a lot. Is this technology brain able to see all of that before we see it and before we know it?
This is a very interesting story, Dan. I give you a lot of credit for tracking this one down and looking into it.
Because, well, thank you, Jimmy.
Because I believe if you can save one student's life at any time, but for whatever tragic reason, they may think about either taking their own lives or taking other people's
lives.
People
with them, right.
Do it, please. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Right. I remember, you've probably heard this saying, if you change one kid's life, you've done God's work.
Oh, wow. This is where you go into Reverend.
I get to play Reverend as much as possible. In fact, I was doing some interviews this past week, and I'm playing them back, and I'm watching, and I'm going, man, I preach a lot.
Well, you ought to get a church, Jimmy. Yeah, maybe you can start doing street preaching. But anyway, no, you bring up a
chapel.
Really,
let's make it a chapel, because that's
chapel.
Non-denominational,
there,
right?
Jimmy Young's chapel. Yes. And you could set it up in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
No, but you bring up a very important point. We often look at things and say, well, that's not going to do anything. But in this case, if you really can, if it only impacts one single community over the life of this technology, then you've done a good thing.
Right. I like, you know, the fact that their business model is free to schools,
right,
charge the parents.
Right, right. For, I guess, other additional features. But
like reporting,
reporting,
I'm going to guess,
exactly,
more than
right,
anything else. And then, of course, we'll get into civil liberties in a minute, I'm sure.
Yes, we will.
But it just, you know what? It's another sign of the times where technology happens so fast,
mm-hmm,
that we couldn't keep up. And I wonder what role technology played in some of these horrific shootings that have happened in the past.
Well, I think it's sort of the flip of this, that technology allows people to be influenced in different ways,
right,
where in the past they weren't. But now that same influence and their activity, interaction with that technology will be able, we hope, to raise some flags.
Right.
That says, whoa, oh, you know, this person has been going to this site too much. This person has been ordering or downloading this. This person has been posting these kinds of messages. And that kind of thing potentially could prevent another attack. Let's back up a little bit. So there are a number of these companies out there. I was not aware. I don't know if you were aware of these various different companies.
No, I was not aware because, after all, I don't have a small child anymore.
Right,
he's
so you don't
bigger
think,
than me.
That's right. You told me the other day your son is much bigger than you.
Yes.
But schools are apparently increasingly turning to this artificial intelligence, according to USA Today. And there are these companies that they laid out in an interesting article, Bark Technology, GaggleNet, and Security Inc. Those are just three companies that what they do is, they scan, it's machine learning. For those of you who don't understand what artificial intelligence is, or otherwise known as AI, it's a machine that isn't just mimicking, but is learning.
It's learning.
It goes out there. It finds information, and everything it finds, and every time it does an action, it learns from that action. That's the scary part. Like, at some point, it's going to be smarter than us.
I told you. iRobot. It's what it is. That's right. It's iRobot all over again.
That's
right. Today.
The vacuum cleaner takes off and starts vacuums you up.
Vacuums you right up.
You get sucked right up in it. But anyway, what it does is it scans student emails, texts, documents, even, you know, social media activity, and it will look for various different warning signs, things that, and again, you know, whenever there's one of these mass shootings, what we often say is, well, what news reporters will do is they'll go to their Facebook page and they'll pull up some dark, ominous message, you know, where they talked about being in a lot of pain and wanting to take something out on someone, or they talk about how they've been bullied.
You know how I talk about my son who's 28 and bigger than me now, right?
Yes.
He used Facebook, and he's 28 now, so let's say 15 years ago, 14 years ago, 13 mm-hmm. years ago, when it was just starting, as his analyst, he would throw out his feelings and post them on Facebook. Now, granted, the parents... Moi, I was one of them. I can only speak for myself here. I was a little concerned about it, but also I supported it because he was vetting. He was at least articulating and communicating his feelings about stuff.
Right, right.
And anyway, that being said, it was alarming to us at the time. And again, we talk about how technology changed so fast and the kids were into it before the parents understood it.
Right.
Right. And even now, come on, we're doing it now.
Yeah. We understand 10%.
That's right. Compared to them. But now you're right. If you can create a vehicle, in this case, it is artificial intelligence. It is a learning piece of software that can detect certain words that are the alarming words.
Exactly. It could be drugs or it could be bullying.
It could be life. It could be suicide. Those words are out there. These kids know these words, and they do have these tendencies when they're in situations amongst their peers.
To overshare. That's different from us.
Exactly.
Like, we kind of hid our feelings. We didn't share our feelings with the public.
Dan.
There's an image to maintain.
Think about the generation before us for a second.
Oh, yeah. You didn't talk about anything.
They wouldn't even to – I remember. They did not – they came back from World War II and did not want – they wanted to put that out of their minds.
Hey, my mom always kept our curtains closed. We didn't want anybody walking by to look inside – and see us.
Right.
Even though people see you when you're walking around on the street, but it's a very closed curtain kind of situation. And now
we invite Alexa in.
Exactly. You're right. And you know, the other night, a random person who was retweeted by somebody I didn't even recognize was talking about how they can't remember the last time that they felt, I think it was this, I'm paraphrasing here, but they hadn't felt happiness in a long time.
That's really sad.
What they feel on an ongoing basis is pain and anguish and hopelessness.
Hopelessness.
And I saw that and a flag was raised right away. I didn't even know who this person was. And then I looked at the thread and people were commenting like, you know, used to see my shrink. I got someone really good. You know, this is serious. I'm praying for you. Like, people started reacting to it right away. So the notion that artificial AI can pick up on these things, if we're not paying attention, the stuff is being put out there.
Right.
And it's just that oftentimes the people who can do anything about it aren't paying attention. It's the friends, it's the inner circle, whatever, and they might want to – it's like, oh, they're kidding around or whatever. And so I think this will work.
It has worked. We look at the results of some of these tools that are being used now by schools, and I love the fact that they are given to schools for free.
Right, because it's always the cost of something is often what prevents a lot of organizations, especially those that aren't for-profit, from using it.
Right.
You know, and so in this case, there's not that excuse. And you pointed out, Jimmy, that, you know, that it has worked. So apparently, according to this article, in the fall of 2017, Bark Technologies, one of the companies that is in this sector, they ran a test pilot with 25 schools, and according to the chief parent officer, chief parent officer. That's interesting. I saw Patton as chief parent officer.
Parent in liaison.
Well, liaison,
you know, they have
right.
the parent teacher associations
right.
and they, you know.
So the company has a chief, a CPO.
Yep.
They said, quote, "We found some pretty alarming issues, including a bombing and school shooting threat." So that's in 25 schools they were able to detect that. And again, they're not promising that they're going to stop every single case and every threat out there. But back to what you said at the top of this podcast, if you can just stop one or two or one a year.
Correct.
You saved a lot of lives.
That's God's work. Last
exactly.
time I checked, anyway.
Yeah.
And I hang with God a lot.
Yeah. Well, you because know? You are the reverend with the chapel in Las Vegas. So, you know, there are obviously privacy concerns, and this is something that you raise. And that's the limitation of it. Like, how much do you want to let this AI find out about your kid?
Think about kids first. Can we think like a child, please? Because it's so easy for me to
do. That's how we think every day, Jimmy.
That's how I think every day. The job of the child is to push the limits that have been imposed on him by his parents.
Right.
By his school, by his coaches, by his teachers. This is what being a child is about.
Right.
Because we have accepted the fact that adults are supposed to lead the way and set good examples for our next generation, our kids.
Right, right.
We all know, as humans, we are subject to frailties.
Yes, we are.
Are you going to go to the reverend thing again?
No. I'm not preaching here.
I'm just sitting on the edge of my seat. These are all facts.
I'll just be like in the African American church. I'll just wave my hanky.
So think how limited. This is interesting because I think kids, we really should be talking to the 16-year-old.
They don't think as much about the, I don't think. I mean, this isn't scientific, but they aren't going around worried about the privacy
when
issue.
When I was 16, I shared with my friends.
Yes.
And it was a rite of passage.
Yes.
And I'm not going to use examples.
No.
But I'm going out on a limb thinking anybody who has been 16, who happens to be listening to this show, knows exactly what I'm talking about.
But the problem is this, Jimmy, back to, so if AI is stalking your kid, basically, for good, again,
good. I don't know if I like the word.
Okay,
stalking.
So they're not stalking your kid. They're stalking information that could lead back to your kid. So
they're observing his behavior.
They're stalking information sounds better.
I think they're observing his
behavior. If someone's observing you, they're stalking you.
Okay, all right.
Doesn't
stalking mean something bad's going to happen at the end?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
I've been stalked by my dog.
I mean, stalking is a crime, though, isn't it?
Well, you can't stalk someone. You can't stalk them in that way. Okay.
Observing behavior through artificial intent.
Yes. Okay,
there we go.
We took it to a high level. But on a tweet, stalking sounds much better. But the issue is this. Back to your premise of, kids say stupid stuff and all that.
Well, not to them. It's not stupid to them.
No, but what if they say a lot of stupid things that they don't mean, and now all of a sudden, this is the privacy issue.
Everything is going to be checked.
Everything is going to be checked. Now the powers that be at this company spit out a report and they say, little Johnny here has been talking a lot about guns and blowing things up and, this, that, and the
hurting
other.
Squirrels.
Yeah, and talking about, being depressed and girlfriend this and that. And it turns out that little Johnny's just doing that to get the attention of some girl.
Right.
But now all of a sudden little Johnny has been flagged. How will that hurt little Johnny going forward?
Well, again, how much privacy are we still maintaining for little Johnny? In other words, who is being shared? This information is being shared with the parent who's paying $9 a month to observe their child online.
Yeah, but Jimmy, little Johnny could fall prey or victim to what we've talked about on the show before, which are these devices that go rogue. And so the fact that this information is being gathered, and yes, it's just for the parents to use or for a school system to use as a process in some way, information is being gathered, and we have no idea where that information will end up. And I think that's my biggest concern. No one was sitting there jumping up and down with Alexa and saying, Alexa is going to spy on you. And we hear just about every few months, we hear something about someone's personal information being sent to strangers. or streamed out to wherever. You know, those things do happen. Do they happen all the time? No, I think it probably works, you know, fine most of the time.
It's the control
it doesn't.
Right. It's the control of the information and who sees that information that is wreaking havoc in social media right now anyway.
Right.
I mean,
that's true.
What's been going on with Facebook and what goes on with Twitter and any media that can collect data.
Yeah.
Right?
You have to
about
be...
behavior.
Yeah, you have
and
to
now
think
we
about
have,
that.
And now we've created, you know, computers or learning machines, if you will, that will look at this behavior and look for a pattern of behavior.
And what else are these things going to learn about your child? You know,
You know what's funny, Dan?
What?
As we both know,
yes.
Parenting is the toughest job ever created.
Yes, it is.
There is no training for it, and the only role model are your own parents.
So AI might get upset and say, you take them back. I don't want to deal with them.
But here's an example. Back in the day when one parent usually stayed home or was involved with the school, was more involved, and they weren't.
They would see a lot.
They would see a lot more. You'd be around them more. You'd see who their friends were. You'd see who they're playing with.
The technology
and a lot of it
makes
now,
it a little harder.
They can hide it, and they can be a completely different person online than they are in real life. And
they get influenced because they're seeing a lot of stuff out there as well. So it can take them to a dark place very quickly.
Right. As a parent, would you pay for this service? That's what I want to know. I'd like to know. Since you do have two teenagers, I'm just saying.
You know, after I think I'm on the fence. I understand. Yeah, I think ultimately I probably would. I think it's important to know as much because they can go places without getting in a car. And going there.
Right.
Because they can go places without getting on their bike and going there, then I need to figure out how to go to other places as well. And this is another mode of transportation. It's technology transportation for mom and dad.
I like that.
And so while I do have reservations about the privacy side of it, I probably would do it. Now, here's the other thing, Jimmy. There's the point of these kids understand technology so well. How will they be able to fool the system? So you don't even know this may be only as good as the kid on the receiving end of this is unaware that it's going on, because kids who know that this potentially could come back to bite them or thwart something that they're planning, they can figure out a way around it. And that's one of the potential shortcomings of this kind of technology. Kids know how to adapt to anything that's going to spy on them.
Yep, absolutely. And we've talked about this in general. Those who are looking to circumvent the rules are ahead of those who have imposed those rules.
Exactly. Exactly.
The cheaters are always ahead of the regulators.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that goes back to human behavior. It's just, you know, we're flawed beings, folks.
Yes,
you know
we are.
What? We're going to make mistakes.
Yep.
We're going to say things we don't like. We're going to base our opinions on misinformation. And the media, don't blame the media for everything. All the media is trying to do is their job by giving you information.
But there's so much information they're getting. And who knows how that is impacting. We know that there have been copycats. There are a lot of different things that young people have done because they're young and stupid or, you know.
Inexperienced. I do not want to use that word. I do not like it when people call young people stupid because they're young. Okay, they're learning. They're growing up.
What
do you say?
They're same thing. Young and stupid equal. But
don't forget what my last name is, okay?
Oh,
so please. I'm a little sensitive to the double meaning, okay?
Okay, yes.
That being said.
That's why.
You've got to think like how challenging it is to be a parent where you are controlling. Mac Bledsoe says this, Drew Bledsoe's dad, who heads up the foundation, Parenting with Dignity. You know, the ideas in their head are going to rule their world. You as a parent have to formulate and influence those ideas in their heads about sex, about drugs,
about rock and roll,
violence. Oh, definitely rock and roll. Come on. And do they have rock and roll still? Anyway, you get what I'm saying?
I do.
It's a huge obligation that parents have. And by the way, because they have so many obligations to support the family, we're talking about a lot of double income households out there.
Exactly, yeah.
And they don't have a lot of time to monitor the behavior, the thoughts of their children. Here's what Reverend Jimmy says.
Yes, go ahead. Preach it, brother.
Talk to your kids about everything because guess what?
They're going to learn it from somebody.
And if you don't, AI will find out. They'll talk to them.
Yeah, well, they haven't talked back yet, right? No, we haven't got to the point where you can actually talk. The thing's not talking back to you.
No, but that's next.
Okay.
If you like this episode, let us know. Like us on Facebook. Use the hashtag #BehindTheMedia to engage with us on Twitter. And if you have any questions or comments, reach out to us at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.